Our reading for Tuesday, April 28th, begins in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said was pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom of the Spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And the priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred, and go into the land that I will show you.' Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them and afflict them 400 years. But I will judge the nation that they serve, said God, and after that they shall come out and worship me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac, and circumcised him on the 8th day, and Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him out of all of his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine throughout all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers on their first visit. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob, his father, and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers, and they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. He dealt shrewdly with our race and forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house, and when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other? But the man who was wronging his brother thrust him aside, saying, Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. For the sake of brevity for today's reading, we're going to stop right there. Chapter 6 was pretty short, and so I didn't want to just leave it at him being seized, but there's quite a bit left in this particular context. So thinking back to the beginning of chapter 6, I would remind you that we had the case of Ananias and Sapphira who lied to the Holy Spirit, and they both lost their lives. That created a lot of respect among the church for following the will of God and for walking in the light as part of the apostles' doctrine that they were handing down from Jesus. And then other signs and wonders were done, and they continued to add to their number. The apostles are then arrested, and they're beaten and then freed. And then chapter 6, the account shifts. Luke begins to focus a little bit more on the church here again, and he talks about this disagreement or this controversy that arose in the church at Jerusalem. It says that it was a complaint by the Hellenists that arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. The Hellenists would be those that were Greek-speaking Jews, and so they would be places that have been what we usually term Hellenized. They had been influenced by the Greek culture and also would have been speaking that language as their normal language. Now keep in mind that the influence of Greek culture at this time is great. This is not a small number. When we're talking about the Greek influence, Greek was pretty well a universal language at the time throughout all of the Roman Empire. That was one of the things that helped the propagation of the gospel. So this controversy arises. We don't have any more information about whether it was intentional or whether it was unintentional or anything that might come to our mind about why some of them would have been being overlooked. However, verse 2, the 12 apostles summon the disciples and say, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. They recognize that the task is big enough that it would distract them from the spiritual work of teaching and evangelizing. And so, verse 3, pick out from yourselves 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. 7 men that it's going to be their responsibility to handle this. Now keep in mind that this is the will of God here. God is directing these things, and this is part of the way that the pattern for the church still exists today in having elders and deacons, though we don't have apostles. I wouldn't necessarily say that these men that are appointed here are deacons for the church. However, we do see that what they are being appointed to is very much parallel to what deacons do in the church. So when it says that the apostles will devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, these 7 men will handle these things. They were asking them to choose 7 men whom they trusted, 7 men whom they had their full confidence, so that this controversy could be quelled. It's not a matter of just getting people to be quiet about it. The apostles expected that by appointing these 7 men, that not only would people, you know, let go of the controversy, but there would be no further controversy because these men would handle it in accordance with the will of God, that no one would be overlooked that was in need. So this this pleased the people. They chose the 7 men. The apostles prayed at their appointment and laid their hands on them. That is, they gave them their approval and gave them their authority in this matter. And because of the handling of this particular controversy or disagreement, verse 7, the word of God continued to increase. We can accomplish a lot of wonderful things within the church if we follow God's pattern. And if we do follow God's pattern, then we can handle the things that come our way, whatever might be. The problem is that when we begin to go outside of God's pattern and come up with our own ways of handling things, man tends to create a bigger mess than they had in the first place. Then we see Stephen. Stephen is introduced as one of these men, but in verse 8, we find that he's not just doing this, he's preaching as well. And there were those that, I guess you would say, singled out Stephen. Maybe Stephen is one of the more public guys, you know, going out in public to do some preaching. But he's picked by these guys to dispute with. And verse 10, they couldn't withstand the things that he was saying. So what do? They secretly instigated men. Verse 11, much what they did with Jesus. They end up having false witnesses put together. They've had this conspiracy against him. And he is brought before the high priest, who says, you know, are these accusations true? And what does Stephen say? Does Stephen stand up and say, no, they're not true? Or does Stephen say, hey, you know, let me bring my own witnesses? No. Stephen begins to preach a gospel sermon. And he starts with all the things that they would absolutely agree with, that they couldn't say anything against. He begins to give a recount of history. He begins to recount all these things all the way back to Abraham. Now, all of these people that were present would have known these things. They would have known these stories well. You can just imagine Stephen saying these things, and even those that were in opposition to him had to have been nodding their heads in agreement. Yes, that's true. No one can deny it. All of us know these things. And so he begins to go through, and he goes and talks about Abraham, talk about him being a sojourner, and then the covenant of circumcision is given. Then you had Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Joseph, and then how they ended up in Egypt, first because of Joseph being sold into slavery, gaining favor, being put in charge, saving pretty much the entire world by the providence of God, by storing up food under Egypt's government, then saving his own people, bringing them into Egypt. They grow to the point that they are slaves in Egypt when the new Pharaoh no longer knows Joseph. And then Moses comes on the scene. They know these things very well as well. And it gives the account of Moses, of his birth, his salvation from being put into the river, Pharaoh's daughter adopting him and raising him, his instruction, and then to the point of him caring about how his own people are doing. And he goes up and kills one of the Egyptian overseers, and he thinks that the people would listen to him, but they don't. When he tries to resolve an agreement the next day, verse 28, they ask, do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And that's where Moses flees into exile in the land of Midian. We know that he was there for another 40 years. And that is when God then calls him later. So we'll pick up in verse 30 tomorrow and finish out chapter 7 in tomorrow's reading. So please come back for that. I hope this has been beneficial for you. I encourage you to continue in prayer that God may be with us all. We hope that we will be able to assemble together again very soon as the Lord wills.